On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm the one to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. It is indeed Monday, the start of yet another week. And it's also a very special Monday because it's a holiday that nobody understands. Yes, indeed, it's Columbus Day, a holiday so embarrassing that they had to change the name of it to Indigenous People Day, which nobody can spell nor understand what it means. Am I Indigenous? I don't know. I can't even say it. Happy Indigenous People Day! If you see an Indigenous people person, thank them for their service. I have no idea what this is. I have no idea what holiday this is. I guess Columbus was shamed. Something happened. All of a sudden, people realized that Columbus maybe didn't even discover America. Maybe it was a guy named Bob. They don't know. And apparently Columbus was not a wonderful person. Look, a lot of people in history were despicable people, yet we still celebrate them. So I guess we're working our way up to changing history that wasn't really proper to begin with. Columbus Day, man, that was a thing. Remember that? Remember Columbus? Oh my God. 1492, Columbus did something, but I'm not sure what it was. Apparently, pilgrims were involved, mistreatment of pilgrims. What is it with white people? Oh, God, man. You people, you don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. It's a planet of all different things from all different cultures. Don't you understand that? It's not the world in your head according to what you look like in a mirror. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you? How archaic can you be? Sorry, a little bit of a social commentary thrown in. Not on purpose. Sometimes it just goes there. Anyway, Columbus, I don't know what to say about him. I guess Columbus represented Italian Day. But now not so much, because it has nothing to do with it, really. Do you know the story of Columbus? Oh my God, what a story that was. It was a funny story, to be honest with you. It really was.
Ha ha!
love Indigenous People Day. It's just so much fun. Apparently, Columbus, this is the story as I understand it, as told to me by a lady in a car once. Here's what happened. Columbus wanted to, it was the weekend, it was Columbus Day, and Columbus wanted to do some sailing, and he didn't have enough money for his boat. It was the Nina was the name of his boat, named after this woman he used to date. He got drunk one night, had a thing with Nina. It was not pretty. It was not pretty. Anyway, Columbus wanted to go sailing. So he got a few people together because he didn't know how to do it. And he went to Queen Isabella, whom he met at a party the previous week. And he went to the Palace of Love in Spain and met with Queen Isabella. And Queen Isabella had to get back to the castle before midnight, otherwise she turned into a pumpkin. I think I'm getting my stories a little mixed up. Anyway, so Columbus knocks on the door, and Queen Isabella says, "Who is it?" And Columbus says, "Chris." She says, "Not Chris Columbus." He says, "Yes." She says, "I'm not home." He said, "Let down your hair and let me in." So Columbus goes into the palace, and Queen Isabella is sitting on the throne. Not on a throne like you think. She's actually in the bathroom. And Chris went off to her and said, "Look, I need to borrow some cash. I'm a little short." And Queen Isabella said, "You were always a little short. You're only like 4'7". And he said, "All right, enough of the jokes, Queenie. I need some money." She says, "How much do you need?" And he says, $20. She says, "I'm not giving you $20. You owe me like $700 from the last time you wanted to go sailing. And you ran the ship into an iceberg, and a lot of people died on the Titanic that day." Again, I think I'm mixing up my history. I'm not sure, though. So Queen Isabella said, "I'll spot you $20, but you got to do something more worthwhile than just going sailing, you know? Like, why don't you do something... oh, that's a little more productive. Like, why don't you discover some land or something?" And he said, "Oh, I'll do what I can." She says, yeah, you do what you can. You discover land by mistake and you run your ship into it. That's the problem. He said, "Look, Isabella, get off my ass. I just want to borrow $20. It's not a bitch. Sorry, go get out of here." So Columbus assembles a crew, basically of people that he can insult, shame, and... run into the ground. So he hires some stupid people, and they get on the boat and they start sailing in a westerly direction. And eventually, like 7 years later, they hit land, and it's Plymouth, Massachusetts, apparently. And they get off the boat, and they don't. He doesn't have enough money for restaurants, so he runs into the pilgrims who are eating maize. And Chris says, "What is that?" And the pilgrims say, "That's maize. The Indians taught us." And Chris said, "No, I didn't discover you yet. They're just Indians here. There are no pilgrims." I'm getting very confused between this and the Bible. So he runs into the Indians, is actually what he did, and the Indians are eating maize, not the pilgrims. The pilgrims, there's no such thing yet. So he runs into the Indians, and he says, "What is maize?" And they say, "It's corn." And he says, "Oh, corn, I know what corn is. Why do you call it maize?" And they said, "Just to fuck you up." So there was just back and forth. There was just a lot of back and forth involved. Columbus said, "Can I have some maize with you?" And Indians say, "I suppose." And they sit down, and Chris takes a bite into the cob of maize. He says, "This is amazing." And the Indians say, "See, that's why we call it that." So Chris gets along with the Indians, but only to just shame them and give them trouble. And It's awful. And the Indians say, "You know, you come all the way over here and you cause a lot of trouble. Why don't you go back to where you came from?" And Chris said, "You see what I'm talking about?" Chris says, you know, I know I'm giving you a hard time, Indians, but I tell you something, in a few centuries, you're going to be dealing with cowboys, and they ain't going to be pretty. So the Indians say, get off our land, and a big skirmish ensued, and Haja Chihuahua and Casa Jamama, those are the two of the Indians, they just beat the crap out of Chris. I mean, Chris was actually a pussy. Do I have that right? No? All right. Anyway. So Chris goes back to the docks, and he's about to go home back to Spain and to Italy, and he realizes two of his boats are missing. He came over with three boats. Isabella gave him $20, and Chris was able to buy for another $10 apiece two other ships. He had the Nina already, named after his former girlfriend, and then he had the Pinta, which was named after a car that he had, and the Santa Maria was the other one. So he had blown all the bucks on that. But when he went back to the dock to get to the three ships, two of the ships were gone, and it was just the original Nina that was sitting there, and it didn't look too good. And Chris says, what am I supposed to do? And the Indian said, Uber. Anyway, I don't know if that's how it went. That's just how it went in my head. But that's the Christopher Columbus story. If you go to Plymouth, Massachusetts now, you'll see a rock there. Not a rock. That's a country. I mean, you'll see a rock. And it's in a mausoleum type of structure. And over the years, this rock has been chipped away, especially when they engraved on the top of the rock, 1492 Plymouth Rock. It was a branding thing. So there is and it's funny, when tourists go to Plymouth Rock, they look at it and they say, this is it? This is the whole thing? And that's when they decided, all right, we're going to call it Indigenous People Day then. So I am walking around later on today looking for some Indigenous people. I don't know what they look like. Hopefully they've got little name tags that say Indigenous People on it, and that way I know who I don't know who they are. This is Indigenous People Day, so what stores are open? Are there services open today? Well, no, not really. It's a federal holiday, but nobody knows why. There's no postal service. You won't get the mail today because all the mail is going to the Indigenous people. So you won't get any mail, and all the state and federal offices are closed today because they're all Indigenous. Stores are open, as they always are. Nothing stops the stores. Every single store is apparently open today. Check your listings, but basically, stores don't know what day this is either. Schools, there's no school today because they're too busy trying to figure out what Indigenous means. I have no idea what's going on, to be honest with you. I don't know what happens on what I'm supposed to do on Indigenous People Day. Am I supposed to walk up to people and say, thank you for being Indigenous to me? I remember I was in trouble yesterday, and you Indigenously helped me out of a very difficult situation, so thank you. I don't know what it means. I'm not going to Google it. Again, I don't Google. I will not fall prey to social media Googling. I will not do it. I will not do it unless I want to, and I don't want to. I would go to the library, but it's probably closed, so I have no idea what this is today. Is this the day that you sell a lot of mattresses in the stores? Is this it? Do you buy cars on Indigenous People Day? I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of food to prepare for tonight. You know? On St. Patrick's Day, I make a little bit of an Irish dinner kind of thing. I just look in the refrigerator and I dump it into a pot and I boil it. It's not a big deal, but that's what I do on St. Patrick's Day. And then I eat cabbage and I fart for 6 weeks. Thanksgiving, I know it's the turkey day. I get that. You know, Christmas, whatever, lasagna or turkey or something. Labor Day, all that stuff, Memorial Day, 4th of July, that's hot dogs. That's hot dogs and hamburgers, baby. You know, if you want to take it a step up, you do some ribs, but otherwise that's about it. It's on the barbecue. So I know what to do on these holidays food-wise. Cinco de Mayo, I prepare a couple of mayos. Cinco, the 5th of May, mayo, mayonnaise, I get it. So I know what to do on these holidays, but I don't know what to do for an indigenous people thing because I don't think it's Italian Day anymore. So I don't know what to do on this day. I'm just sitting on my ass today trying to figure out why we're not in school and in our businesses and things. Schools are closed. Schools are closed. I don't know why. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a professional teaching day. They have those now, you know. Professional Teachers Day, when the kids don't go to school, but the teachers do, and they teach the teachers how to teach, and the teachers basically sit there, bored off their ass after eating a dozen donuts and drinking 17 cups of coffee, being told things that they already knew, being told things that they should probably do, but know that they really shouldn't. It's that. It's, Professional Educators Day. What are you talking about? You know, I figured out that oxymorons, you don't need the oxy part. It's just morons. That's all it is. Moron used to be a very derogatory kind of word to say. Now it's fitting. All right. I suppose today, for a moment, the elephant in the room. Look, there's an elephant in the room right now. Things suck right now. Hopefully they'll get better, but not really. We have no House of Representatives as I speak today on Monday, Indigenous Peoples Day. So there's half of the body of government which is not operating. The war in Ukraine continues. Now there's a war between Israel and Hamas and some of the other militant groups in the Middle East. They're fully at war, killing thousands by the day. And so now we're like funding two wars and a lot of other things. It's crazy, man. It's just crazy. The best time? No, not too much. It's just amazing to me, and it's sad, and I won't go any further than this, that in our civilization, in this particular year in our lives, as we're supposed to evolve, that we're still out to destroy each other. We're out to actually annihilate each other as we live on this planet. It just makes no sense whatsoever, and it talks about it talks of our inability to be humane, and it's just sad that we're still in this boat of conflict that never seems to stop. And in our own country, we have two political parties that want to destroy each other. It seems like we have a presidential candidate in Trump that wants to destroy the Constitution. It just anybody that stands in his path. It's like a path of destruction globally. And it's a little scary and a little bit ridiculous. And that's all I want to say. It's just disappointing, I guess. Disappointing is the word. Okay, I have a guest coming up momentarily, and when we come back, it'll just be fantastic. I don't know what else to tell you. Right back after this short commercial word.
That thing you've been looking for is on sale this week at Whatchamacallit's, your one-stop shop for that stuff you need. Get that round thing for the sink, two for just $6.99. Whosamajigs that go on the door, just $3.99 each. the stuff that gets stains out of stuff that comes in that big blue bottle? You'll find it for $5.99 at Whatchamacallit's. The doodad that goes in your car, like the one Gary has for his Jeep? You know the thing, it's like squarish and purple? It's on sale this week for just $49.99. And the thing that, you know, you use to get the stuff down from like the shelf or the closet, the grabby thing? Two for $10.99 this week only at Whatchamacallit's, your one-stop shop for that stuff you need. We're located over by that pizza place near the cinema that you like. Whatchamacallit's.
Dennis Feast joins us now. He is an author and has come out with an interesting new book, Love, Pride, and Murder. It's a little bit of everything. How you doing, Dennis?
Doing okay, Ron. How about you?
Good to speak to you today. Tell me where the idea for this book came from.
Well, it's a murder mystery, so It came from many different places originally. But I think probably what you're looking for is the sort of the idea.
Yeah.
And it's actually taken from a passage in Genesis, you know, not to get all biblical or anything, but that's really where it came from. And the story itself isn't about that, but that was sort of the jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to quote the scripture passage, but if anyone is familiar with it and they read the novel, then they will understand. But again, it's not an allegory. It's not anything that is directed by that. It's simply where the idea came from.
You know, people love mysteries. We watch them on television. I mean, we're into that. We try to figure out what's going on, and as it goes on, things are revealed, and that's kind of fun. Have you always been a fan of mysteries?
Yeah, very much. I don't know. I guess most kids explore, the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and even Sherlock Holmes and some of those early writers the genre. But yeah, I have been, and I think a lot of it has to do with just being curious. And I think, you know, all of us try to figure out what's going to happen next in our lives, in our relationships, and virtually everything in life. And it's part of what it means to be human, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I think mysteries sort of satisfy that urge in a prescribed kind of way, a safe kind of way.
Well, it gives our brain something to do, which is
there you go,
which is nice. Your mystery book is a little bit different than others.
Yeah, I think it is intentionally so. I don't know how many subcategories of mysteries, a lot of them, I guess, but
sure,
they all kind of fall into the sanguine or the bloody or the serial killer type.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other type is the very safe, cozy kinds of mysteries. Both of them are legitimate, and they've been around for a long time. But once you've sort of, you know, bathed in each one of those, you're able to predict what's going to happen next in the novel, and it really takes something extraordinary to capture your imagination.
Yeah,
I think what I've tried to do is bridge that gap. I think that I focus more on the characters than I do on anything else, and the characters are interesting and they're well developed, I hope, and I think that makes the novel a little bit different. Plus, there's some humor in it, there's some romance in it, there are all of the kinds of things that people encounter on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think that there's enough action in it, enough intrigue in it, and certainly enough mystery in it, so that the genre itself is satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like cooking a gourmet dish. You sprinkle a little bit of all these different seasonings in there, and it comes out to be quite tasty.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. This takes place in a small New Hampshire town, I understand.
Yes, sir, it does. I don't know if you're up in...
We're in New England, in the Boston area.
Yeah, I spent a little bit of time in Boston. Uh-huh. When I lived in New Hampshire, I worked for a company that was in Hanover, and I drove into Boston to see customers and for different reasons.
Yep.
So I got a chance to learn a little bit about Boston. But New Hampshire and Boston, of course, they're both New England, and they have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And over the years, the folks from your state sort of migrated into New Hampshire, right in that sort of central area between them.
Pretty much for tax purposes, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Right. And real estate is even cheaper, and yeah, living yeah. in New Hampshire is a less expensive way
yes,
to go.
Is. Yes, it is.
But if you go beyond that point, you know, it's sort of like into the deeper water of New Hampshire.
Yes.
You find old New England.
Yes.
You know, you have Yankees, you have small towns, you have yeah. mountains, you have a different way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always fascinated me, and I enjoyed it up there. In fact, I would still be living there if I could.
Yeah, it's interesting. The way you put it, it's kind of like civilization kind of fades away when you get higher up in those elevations there. Yeah. But it also makes for more interesting mystery, because you denote the difference between big city mysteries and small town mysteries. And I find the small town ones that you can introduce romance, and it's this small town kind of talk and gossip kind of makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah, that's true. And the central character in the novel, it's told in the first person. And the mm-hmm. central character is a guy by the name of Thomas Bradley Stone, T.B. Stone. And he is very worldly, very experienced, even though he was a native to New Hampshire. He went out into the world and then came back. And so mm-hmm. he brings with him a sort of larger view of the world than just, you know, that sort of small town view.
Mm-hmm.
And so it marries the two of them, I think. I think you have the sort of mystery that goes along with the differences between a small town and a large town.
Mm-hmm.
But then in solving the mystery, it requires both.
Yeah.
And I think that's another piece of the novel, I think, that makes it sort of intriguing.
It kind of reminds me of the old time mysteries and the old mystery films in black and white, where there's romance thrown into it, and it's kind of like a different world that we don't experience. And it's I like that. It's kind of it's like a
nostalgic.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of it's like cuddling up to a book kind of thing. it's pretty cool. Your characters, are they going to take you somewhere else in another writing, perhaps? Or sometimes characters do that.
Well, these characters are intended to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've got the second novel in the series is almost completed now. I've got
cool.
I still have to sort of top it off and finish it, but most of it is already done and ready. I have to go do it and edit it and whatnot, but it's ready. And I think that the characters, of course, that's what carries it.
Yeah.
A very different kind of mystery than the first one. It's a little darker than the first one, but I think people enjoy it as well.
When I speak to authors on this program, I always find they have one thing in common. They write their book and they say, yeah, I wrote the first book and developed the characters, and the second book, I didn't write, the characters did that.
Yeah. That's a very, very well put. I think that's just what happens.
Yeah.
Certainly in this one.
Good. It's called Love, Pride, and Murder. Is it available now?
It is. You can get it anywhere online. You can buy it in digital or in print.
Great.
Amazon, obviously, Barnes & Noble, all the big guys, and also some of the smaller places are available.
Cool. Is there a website where people can follow you and your writings and your stuff?
It's not fully developed yet. So, you know, you can plug in my name and you'll get something.
Right.
Unfortunately, I have to apologize. It's a little bit of a blog too.
I'm
sort of trying my hand at that.
Yeah.
But the best place is just to go for the novel and, you know, plug in Love, Pride, and Murder, and it'll pop up. You'll get all kinds of choices.
Perfect. Dennis, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you great luck on the book. I don't think you'll need the luck. It's a nice piece of artistry as far as I'm concerned. And I look forward
to
speaking to you the next time when the other book's finished.
That would be great. I look forward to that.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Happy Indigenous People Day to you. Happy Indigenous People Day. Happy Indigenous People Day. Happy, happy, happy Indigenous People Day. Happy Indigenous People Day to you. My singing career has just been launched.